And you may be wondering why this Sunday of all Sundays, why we are talking about St. Francis and the blessings of animals. Well, last Friday was St. Francis's feast day in the Catholic liturgical calendar, and it's a time when many Catholic and Christian churches will have a blessing of the animals, repeating and commemorating St. Francis's original blessing of the birds. Unitarian Universalist congregations, too, often have animal blessings around this time, where all the pets and animals belonging to those in the congregation are brought into the sanctuary, or perhaps it's held outside, and they line up, and they're blessed each in turn. Unfortunately, our space here is not exactly equipped to invite that kind of joyful chaos into our sanctuary, but we can still take time to reflect on St. Francis, his lessons, animals, their blessings, and our own relationship to them. For instance, I just mentioned that in a traditional blessing of the animals, congregants bring the animals that belong to them. Certainly that is the legal relationship. And our pets do belong to us, the same way that our children and our other family members belong to us. And also, like our children or other family members, they don't exactly belong to us. Welcome to October. Our theme of the month is belonging. So whether our animal companions belong to us or us to them, we all together belong to the great kingdom of animals and the great family tree of life on earth. Each of us is neither any more connected or any less related to that interdependent web of all life, to whatever source may lie at the center. And we have, I would also say, more in common, perhaps, with animals than we have different. Certainly more than our society and culture generally suggests, which is one of the reasons I think that animals are so capable of bestowing blessings upon us, intentional or not. Not because of their differences, but because of what we have in common. So rather than invite the animals actually into our space today, we just want to reflect on the blessings that animals give us. And the first blessing, I think, is the reminder that all of us, dog, human, cat, reptile, mosquito, lion, tigers, bears, we all belong to that larger whole, to that animal kingdom, to the great cradle of earth. And I suppose this is really just my way of phrasing St. Francis's realization that God's love and care is for all of creation, and that it would be a mistake not to invite the birds and animals into religious activity as well. And I think there's another blessing, at least another one that I draw from the St. Francis story, the inspiration to always broaden and widen our circles of identity, our circles of belonging, our circles of who counts and who deserves. Ellie Lacks, of the Gentle Barn Animal Sanctuary, talked about circles in a video that Kara shared with me as we were preparing the service. Ellie tells a story about Karma, the cow. Two stories, actually. The first involves her being separated and then reunited with her calf. The second story involves her surprising everyone by turning out to be pregnant not long after being rescued and reunited with her calf. Her first calf, I should say. So one night, Ellie is performing the nightly ritual of checking in on all the animals on the animal sanctuary. And when she got to Karma, Karma was there intently waiting for her. So Ellie asks, you know, what's going on, girl? And Karma turns around, and there's a foot sticking out of her. So it was very clear that Karma is about to have her baby, or is having her baby. So Ellie runs to the house. She gathers her husband and her children, and they return to the cow pasture. And what they find there is that all 20 cows that they had at that time had formed a perfect circle around Karma. So Ellie and her family, they took their place in that circle, and they watched Karma labor, contract, push, and give birth. They watched Karma clean her baby, and they watched the baby take its first steps and learn to nurse. This whole process took 2 hours, and the whole time the circle stood there, silently witnessing. And when the baby was full and laid down to sleep, all 20 cows simultaneously broke the circle and formed a line, a single file line to the baby. There's no pushing or shoving. The matriarchs and the patriarchs took their place at the front and the younger cows in behind. And each in turn licked the babe and introduced themselves and welcomed him to the world. And after the cows finished, Ellie and her family members took their turns welcoming the baby. Now, while both of Karma's children lived happy lives at the gentle barn in that family of 20 or so cows, they sadly developed mobility issues related to their size and how they had been bred. Remember, they had been rescued from a cruel and unethical farm. And so Karma outlived them. But when their time came, that same circle gathered around Karma as she comforted her child, and that circle stayed with her and mourned with her, just as they had celebrated before. So it seems to me the blessing that Ellie received was being invited to participate in something sacred and to be reminded of the circles of community and the rites of passage that are not just for humans to recognize. There are so many blessings that animals give us, too many stories to name in one sermon. Kara shared how she received the blessing of comfort and courage, and how animal companions can be a barometer for her mental health. What are some of the blessings that you've received from animals? What are some of the lessons you've learned? Feel free to speak them into this room.
Love.
Commitment.
Companionship. That I'm worthy of love.
That I am worthy of love. Yes.
Time for silence.
Acceptance.
Loyalty.
Courage.
Absolute joy.
Grief at their parting.
Yes.
Patience.
Friendliness.
I don't always like the foods that are in front of me. Yes. Spontaneity. Thank you all. I know that I've experienced the blessing of unconditional love from my own dog, Mina, that Ada and I adopted. And there's a real lesson in that kind of love. And I've actually seen this talked about and expressed in two different mediums and different places. And I feel like when a sentiment is expressed by sources as, maybe not as disparate, but one is a great poet, Mary Oliver, and the other an internet meme, I feel that it's important to pay attention to those because they may be very true. So the meme that I refer to, simply some text that someone wrote and made on Tumblr. And it talks about dogs and Mr. Rogers and Lizzo. And if you don't know who Lizzo is, you can look her up and listen to her no-holds-barred feminist pop music, which either is or was very recently topping the charts. So here's the post. I keep seeing people say, "What did we ever do to deserve Lizzo? We were never worthy of Mr. Rogers." Or, "Dogs are too good for us." Listen, Lizzo would be the first person to tell you that you deserve her love and positivity just by being you. Mr. Rogers would hear that and pat the spot next to him on a cozy bench and tell you just how special you are, how wonderful, and how you are worthy of all the love and goodness that this world has to offer. If a dog could talk, they would tell you, "You are the goodest person," and how much they love loving you. You are good, you are deserving, you are worthy. That's all that Lizzo, Mr. Rogers, and dogs have been trying to teach us all along. And so I believe that this is exactly the same blessing that Percy conveys to Mary Oliver, and which she graciously passes on to us in the poem that Kara read earlier. Oh, how rich it is to love the world. Percy, meanwhile, leans against me and gazes up into my face, as though I were just as wonderful as the perfect moon. Well, the world is wonderful and worthy of love and adoration. And we belong to the world. We are part of it, too. We are just as wonderful as the perfect moon, and it is always a blessing to be treated as such. And this is a core message of Unitarian Universalism, expressed in our first principle. We respect the worth and dignity, the inherent worth and dignity of every person. Perhaps that phrasing in our principle is a little technical, a little academic, less warm perhaps than how Mr. Rogers would say it. But it is both a compassionate and a serious sentiment. It's a real article of faith, I would say. The key, what makes it really powerful for me, is that there are no exceptions. There is no choice or activity or option that you can take to revoke your own worthiness, your own belovedness, or to revoke that of another person. I like to think of it, theologically inclined as I am, as a sort of Calvinist universalism. Calvinism rather than, so rather than saying, well, there's irresistible grace, you can't do anything about it, and there's predestination, so some people are going to heaven and some people are going to hell. That's sort of a brief overview of Calvinism. But the universalist version of that is, yes, there's irresistible grace and a predestination, but everyone is going to heaven. So you are loved. If there is a heaven, you are going to it, and you do not have a say in the matter, and neither does anyone else. And I hope you really hear this message, this blessing, not just in your ears, but in your heart. It is one thing to memorize a principle, to know the words and what they mean, but it is another thing entirely to have a deep experience, a religious experience, a sacred moment that really instills that sense. And it may take more than one moment or reminders over time, of course. So I hope you receive that blessing, whether from reading Mary Oliver or a positive meme on the internet or from a circle of cows or from a circle of human companions, from a pop song or from your own pets. Know that you are loved, you are lovable, and you are loving. And if you haven't received that blessing, or these words don't resonate with you, perhaps it's difficult, well, that's what this community is here for. That's what I'm here for as a minister. Not to fix it, not to bestow that blessing upon you directly, but to hear you and to accompany you and to maybe help look and see where those blessings may be hiding. My door is always open. Now, with this kind of theology of inherent worth and dignity, of inherent blessedness and belovedness, it might seem redundant or unimportant to bless animals or bless one another, like St. Francis did. But for me, the act of blessing, of taking time to pause, to recognize something, and to speak a blessing, can be very powerful and effective. I think it's put very well by author Marilyn Robinson in the following excerpt from her novel Gilead, in which the narrator recalls having, as a child of a pious Christian family, having baptized an entire litter of kittens with his siblings. I still remember how those warm little brows felt under the palm of my hand. Everyone has petted a cat, but to touch one like that, with the pure intention of blessing it, is a very different thing. It stays in the mind. For years, we would wonder what, from a cosmic viewpoint, we had done to them. It still seems to me to be a real question, There is a reality in blessing. It doesn't enhance sacredness, but it acknowledges it, and there is power in that. I have felt it pass through me, so to speak. The sensation is one of really knowing a creature. I mean, really feeling its mysterious life and your own mysterious life at the same time. And so with this sense of mystery and mysticism, of blessedness and blessing, please join me in whatever physical posture or mental mind frame centers you most, and bring to your thoughts and hold in your heart the animal or animals who have most blessed you in this life, while I offer this blessing adapted from the Reverend Maureen Killoran. For the blessings of animal companions, we give thanks. For the beautiful ones, whose fur is silky and whose tails are long, whose feathers are brilliant and whose voices are splendid, we give thanks. For the frantic ones, the runts and the hungry, who run for a food bowl or a pat, as though this is life's last possible gift, we give thanks. For the obnoxious ones, the heads that butt against us as we're trying to sleep, the bodies that refuse to learn discretion as they make digestive gifts, we give thanks. For those who bark and purr and growl and mew, for all who squeak and squawk or snarl or hiss, we give thanks. For the animals unknown to us, those whose niche in life's web is fragile, whose lives are insecure, for all who care for them and wish them well, we give thanks. Blessed are the animals. Blessed are the creatures who live with us and need our care. Blessed are the mammals and the reptiles and the birds who teach us we are not alone. Blessed are all living things from whom we learn to love. At this time, I invite you to speak the names of the animals that have most touched your life into this space for blessing. Mina. Divine mystery which grounds us and surrounds us, divine love known by many names and in many ways, bless all the animals named into this sacred space. Bless all the animals and help us to remember the abundant blessings that they are in our lives. May these animals and those who care for them always be held lovingly in the hand of creation. Blessed be.